And now, a word from our sponsors.
Need a catch-up session on what you missed last week? Now you're listening to ArchD Radio, the podcast mix.
ArchD Life FM, James here with you. Hope you are having a wonderful night, as I am. I'm having a really great night because today, in addition to being here and speaking to you all, which is just something that I adore, and playing great music, again, something I really adore, I get a chance to have a conversation with an entirely new person who I don't, well, we don't even really know each other at this particular point, which is kind of by design because I didn't really want to have a deep, in-depth conversation before I had a chance to get you on the show. And like the first day I met you, I asked you immediately, I have you on the radio show. Can you please come on the radio show? Because we were sitting around this kind of weird, something that you only ever really see in kind of like conference situations as well, isn't it? And it's where we were all sitting around having a big extended team day of the year because ArchD sits, I'm a bit of a Russian nesting doll in terms of ArchD. We sit inside this thing called Ministry, which sits inside Catholic Identity and Mission, which sits inside Catholic Education SA, which sits inside, I guess, the whole Archdiocese of Adelaide, like roughly speaking. That's how it works. And so we have so many people in these different Russian, all the Russian nesting doll people, they break out of their dolls and they converge together and get a chance to see each other and speak to each other for the first time. And this is where I met you. And we were going around the table having this conversation and I forget what it was about. It was about talking about something that was, because we were up in the monastery up in Glen Osmond. It was like, who are you thinking of in this space here and now?
Yes, and who inspires you.
And who inspires you. And you told this amazing story. And we'll get into that in a second because I really want to talk about that. But you told this most amazing story. I'm like, oh, I've got to get her on. She's such a great storyteller and just got a wonderful voice and a wonderful laugh too, as you can hear. See, I told you. Anyway, Kelly Spencer, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
No, thank you very much for having me.
That's quite okay. Now, we're going to be chatting about a whole bunch of things. I really want to learn a lot about, I guess, kind of how this, I guess, roller coaster of life started for you that, that made you wind up here where you are today working for Catholic Identity and Mission, working as a, what's the actual title of the work that you do here?
So I'm a Catholic Identity and Mission advisor, but specifically in the area of formation.
Formation. So for people who might not be familiar with that term, how would you describe what formation is?
I guess for me it's helping other people, whether they are children or their parents, families, educators, anybody that works or is involved within Catholic Education South Australia, helping them to, I guess, grow their understanding of Jesus and providing them with opportunities and invitational opportunities, I should say, to help nourish their faith and for them to come to experience, I guess, experiences whereby they can explore and deepen their understanding or their own personal faith.
Yeah. Okay. There's so much in what you just said then that I really want to talk about because so much of this is going to have come from, I guess, you having experiences of doing that with people. And I guess as you do these things, you learn along the way, some of these things work really well. Some of them, you know, sometimes you can try to do these things and they just fall well short. And sometimes when you're trying to really engage people in this idea of church within Catholic identity and faith, sometimes if you do make attempts like this and it doesn't really work very well, it's kind of, it can sometimes drive people even further away. And that's a really difficult job to do. I want to talk all about this. Anyway, we got lots to talk about. But before we kind of get into that, I'd love to get back to, for you, where did the whole notion of church begin? Was it a childhood thing for you?
Sure. So my faith journey is quite, well, I guess like everybody's, it's quite unique, but I wouldn't say it's the typical experience of lots of people. So essentially I When I started primary school, my parents enrolled me at the local public school. Mm-hmm. And oh, I should start to and preface by saying that nobody in my family is religious. I haven't come from a religious family.
Okay, cool.
So when I began school, I went to the local public school. Mm-hmm. And it was at the end of year one that my dad actually won a contract as the groundsman at the local Catholic school.
Okay.
So for purely logistic reasons, my parents moved me. So starting in year two, I was attending a Catholic school.
Wow. Okay.
And
this is a very different origin story.
Yes, yes. And so essentially, I feel like on reflection, looking back, my spiritual journey started from the moment I stepped foot in that school.
How did it begin there?
I felt that from the moment I entered, I felt absolutely welcomed. And I felt the Catholic culture of that school permeated throughout all facets of school life. And
what was sort of the thing that struck you as being different right from the get-go? I mean, you're talking about it in sort of broad terms, yes. But what there must have been some things that happened that were really specific and you went, oh, that's different.
Yes, prayer.
Right.
So morning prayer and having discussions around, this idea of who Jesus was and what Jesus did, they were all, stories that were completely new to me. I'd never been exposed to any type of religious teaching before, ever.
Wow. So what was that experience like? Did it seem like, what are we talking about here? Because if you're saying you didn't come from a religious family, does that mean you didn't even really have an awareness?
Oh, absolutely. And I would have only been around 7 years old, so I didn't have an awareness of religion at all.
Wow.
We would have passed churches as we were traveling, around in the car, but certainly I'd never been inside a church. And so it was through my experience of school and the way that my teachers, taught me, and through religion lessons and, the prayer experiences and the prayer life of the school, that I'd sort of come to know about Jesus and the gospel message. And these were all, stories and, experiences that just absolutely resonated with me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. So you take these experiences, you go home. What are you telling your mum and dad about these experiences? Because if they don't come from a religious background at all,
yes,
the idea that you as a primary school student are coming and going, mum, dad, you never guess, like today, so good. How did that go? What was that conversation like?
Well, they were always very supportive. And certainly my dad, because he was working in the school, he was very aware of the things that were happening. So he was very supportive, but they would, the conversation, I would always be leading those types of conversations, and it would be more of me as a seven-year-old just explaining what was happening, and they were all very always keen to listen, I guess. But it wasn't really until year three. So in year three, the children in my class were preparing to celebrate the sacrament of First Eucharist. And it was during...
So for people who don't know what this is, that's like a confirmation when you have the very first time you have the wafer, the body of Christ.
Yes. Yep. And at that time, the way that the preparation, evolved was it was very school-based, unlike today, which is, more parish-centred. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we did all of the preparation inside the classroom. And so whether you were Catholic or non-Catholic, you participated.
Right.
And so I was participating in the preparation for this amazing celebration that I knew that I couldn't participate in fully.
Because you hadn't been baptised already.
Because I wasn't baptised. Yeah. And so I remember explicitly being, putting my hand up, answering questions, working in little groups, filling out this special book. And I went home and I said to Mum, I want to be baptised. I want to become a Catholic. And
how old are you at this point?
I was in year three, so maybe
eight
or nine. And my parents are very supportive, but Mum sort of suggested that, hold that that belief and that desire in your heart, mm-hmm. and maybe sit on it and hold it close, but maybe wait until you're an adult to, put this belief into fruition, I guess. She was maybe a little bit skeptical, perhaps, uh-huh. that, as a young person, as an eight-year-old, I was able to make that type of, commitment and decision. And so it was her, she certainly didn't knock knock the idea, but she just asked and suggested really that I sit on that and just and wait. And I did that throughout school.
Oh, come on. Like, that must have been devastating. Because you really, and plus you're eight. Like,
yes, it's true. I was really, I remember being at the celebration and I was allowed to hold a candle while the gospel was being read. And I did buy a new dress. I remember it was blue with white flowers.
God, remember the dress? Yeah,
I wanted to be with everybody receiving Eucharist for the first time. And
you probably saw a whole bunch of your classmates there who
some who probably didn't go.
Oh yeah, yes. Like didn't really want that. You wanted it so badly, and you couldn't.
And so I did. I was very fortunate that my teacher was able to make me as part of the mass, you know, as possible. And I certainly went up for a blessing, but I did feel, you know, a slight disconnect there.
Yeah.
That I would have liked to have been, I guess, part of that celebration more, fully.
Okay.
But. You know, looking back, everything, I guess, you know, it's easy to say now, but it obviously happened for a reason, and it was just part of this ongoing faith journey for me.
Kelly Spencer is my very, very riveting special guest here on the show today. That laugh, my God, it's just, you should frame that, charge people admission to come and see it. Okay. Now, you were just talking about the confirmation that didn't happen.
Yes. Like
you're there, you're holding the candles for the confirmation for all the other kids because your mum had said, as you hadn't been baptized already, wait, see how you feel later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
You even remember the dress that you wore in detail, which goes to show how emotionally invested you were and how scarring it must have been. But like, as you then went on through secondary school, like, please put us out of our misery. Sure. When did you get confirmed finally?
Sure. So
when did it happen?
There's still a little bit of a process.
Okay.
So I attended a Catholic secondary school and I was still very deeply involved with a variety of different social justice endeavours and initiatives. So
whereabouts did you go, can I ask?
Siena College.
Okay. Oh, Siena as it was back then, which is now, I think, like Nazareth, I guess. Yep, yep.
And so I was always heavily involved in any type of social justice, I guess, initiative. And so that calling for me was still there and that was a way that I felt that I could participate in the life of the church without being, you know, officially welcomed into the church through baptism. And then after school, when I was studying education, I still felt a desire. It was such a strong calling to contribute to life and to people who are less fortunate. And so it was through the St. Vincent de Paul Society that I became a team leader for Fred's Van. And looking back, it's quite serendipitous, I suppose, because I actually ended up leading the Fred's Van group with the local Antioch youth group.
Right,
we were working together
which
in
is
solidarity.
Like a Catholic youth group in different parishes, yeah.
Yes. So, again, I wasn't Catholic, but I still was forming all of these connections with people that shared my faith and was strengthening. They were still strengthening my faith, absolutely. But my faith hadn't yet been formalised.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So then I moved to London once I finished my teaching degree and I lived overseas for 2 years and had an amazing time teaching and travelling. And it was when I returned back to Adelaide as a young woman in her early 20s that I then decided that, you know, it's time now for me. I can commit and I... you know, I'm at home, I'm surrounded by the love of my family and my friends that I can begin my RCIA journey. And that's when I decided to, I guess, start that program.
Yeah. So the RCIA, and it's interesting that you mentioned this now because our reading in Mass for this weekend is John 3, 14 to 21, which is really all about Jesus talking about people being lifted up, the idea of being lifted up. And I think that when you actually do make that real conscious decision of faith and owning it for yourself, it really is like that.
Yes.
I'd love to know at that moment, why that moment for you, did you feel, and we talked about this beforehand, about being lifted up and held. Why was it that moment that really struck you as this is the time?
I felt that I'd returned home. I was, again, like I said, surrounded by family and friends and also by my partner, who's my now husband. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I was in a place where I was, you know, living and committed to living. And I had the time and I guess the space and the love behind me in order to, I guess, you know, make that commitment. And it was a big commitment, what the program involved. And it was wonderful, but it was important that I had the time and the space to, you know, I guess, live that program and give the best of me,
yeah,
you know, to that time.
It's a really wonderful program, and I that's how I came into the church as well. Mm. I went through RCIA, and it was a time of great, because you've got to learn a lot. You've got to really take on a lot. And a big part of the end part of the RCIA program is that you've got to make a discernment, and also those people who are working with you as well, a big part of deciding whether or not you're actually going to move on to that confirmation is that idea that you have had some sort of conversion. They say the conversion of heart and mind that goes into that as well, that there really does need to be a tangible change there in yourself. Otherwise, why do it? Like, why go through with it? Did you feel that that had happened during the course of your going through the RCIA?
I felt...
Or had it already happened? Because I've got a feeling like you had already arrived long before that.
Yes, like for me, I feel like the RCIA program was a way that I could formalize my faith, because I actually inherently felt Catholic.
Yeah.
I've felt Catholic since I was in primary school. So for me, this was a way that I could live out my faith fully, I guess in a formal way, because for me it was already embedded within my being.
Hey, this is Emma.
Hi, I'm Zach.
Hey, everybody, this is Matt Maher.
That's Tom.
That's Riley.
And now...
this is ArchD.
ArchD Radio 107.9
Live.
Now, you have come to this. We talked a little bit about this beforehand, but you have come to this role from being a teacher in a school.
Yes.
And you would have, and you've been at what they call an APRM as well in a school too, which is the shortened version of assistant principal, religious identity and mission. So it's basically the person in the school whose main task is actually looking at the faith life of the school. And they work very, very closely with the principal and people like that in the school. I'd love to know, prior to coming in here, like, has there been a sort of like a moment where you'd go, of all the moments that I can remember teaching, this really has been a standout highlight? And I mean, it doesn't need to be a big thing. It could be a small thing as well, I suppose. Like, for you, has there really been a moment that you would look to and go, you know what, this is the why? This is why I do this, and this is why I've committed myself to this?
Yes. Great question. I probably couldn't name a moment off the top of my head, but I could name instances though of when people have changed me, when educators have changed me.
Yeah.
And you know, for example, every year in high school, I would cry as I would have to say goodbye to some of my teachers, because they were so... I've always felt so affirmed and supported and deeply held by all of my teachers. And I guess for me, I wanted to recreate that for children, and I wanted to the children that I had the privilege of, or well, the children I do have the privilege of teaching, I guess I wanted to share that deep love and, you know, thirst for knowledge, and to know that they are held, you know, by me as their teacher, but, you know, by God and by the school in which they are. I think, you know, children are such a blessing, and it's such a privilege to be a teacher. That's a bit off track.
That's absolutely perfect. I mean, I think, you know, as we are, you know, being a parent as well, all you really want is to know that the teacher is invested and the teacher cares.
Absolutely.
Because to be honest, I'll be seriously honest, I would say that the teachers who I've met are great teachers. They could be great at anything. They're amazing multitaskers. They're great communicators. You know, they have such wonderful skills of being able to connect different things together as possible ways of doing things. But they don't choose to do that. They choose instead to do this.
Yes.
So I think that it's important that if teachers have actually chosen to do that, the good teachers, I'm not talking about every teacher, because that would just be being naive, but like good teachers who do that, I think that, you know, you always desperately hope that your kids are the ones who get that, you know, and that's what I've always thought throughout, you know, seeing my kids grow up as well.
And go,
I just want that for them. And then as a result, I feel that whenever I'm in a classroom setting and I'm talking to students, I go, so I now have that responsibility that mm-hmm. I've got to be that person too. Mm. I can't slack off now.
No. Because,
and for the same reason that I've had teachers who have had such massive influences on my life. I mean, I had a teacher when I was in year 12, I had this idea that I wanted to take on all of these very, very difficult year 12 subjects, one of which was, I guess, the equivalent of what they call English Lit now, mm-hmm. like top English. And I was terrible at English in the first term. I was like on an E or something like that. I was like failing terribly. And my English teacher at the time sort of said to me at the end of a class, stay back after class, I've got something I want to talk to you about, which is always great, of course, yeah. isn't it? It's always good, good news. And she said, look, I just want you to know, I've been on the phone to your parents and for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be staying back at school with me after school and I'm going to turn you into a good writer. She goes, you can, but you just can't do it right now.
Yes.
And I was furious. Furious. I could not believe that because nowadays, like, parents and teachers talk about dead
yes.
in the, I guess, early 90s. Never would happen. That stuff would never happen. But then she did. Like, she absolutely did. She introduced me to Kurt Vonnegut, the writer. We were reading stuff. There's this amazing book called Cat's Cradle that I read, and it just kind of changed my life in terms of looking at literature and reading. The main character's name is Jonah, my son. I named Jonah. And years later, when I started working in education and wanting to teach and wanting to work with students, I knew that a big part of that was that I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be what she was mm-hmm. to me. In the end, I got an A and I got a perfect score for English from what I could do from that point for my exam and stuff. And it made a big, big difference in my life. It's one of those things. I wanted to tell her this, desperately wanted to tell her this. Mm. And I managed to get hold of her contact details and I sat on them for about 2 years, I reckon, because I thought, what am I going to say? You know, as an adult grown person, what do you say to someone when they've done that? So one day I just did one of those things where you almost disconnect your body from your brain and go, I'm just going to dial the number and I'm just going to call. And I called and I got her on the phone, and you have to have that weird thing where you go, look, you probably won't remember me, but you taught me 25 years ago. And she remembered me immediately. And we had the best conversation when I told her that, you know, I was getting involved in schools and I wanted to you know, that's what I wanted to do and that's what I wanted to be. She started crying, and then I found out 2 months after that she passed away.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, if I'd sat on that for any longer, that moment would never have happened. Mm. And so I guess coming back to what you were talking about, there's this continuum there, isn't it?
Yes.
You find yourself, you go, no, this, I sit on this rotation where I then have to be that person for this student. And then when it comes around, then they can be that person. Mm-hmm. You know that you're sitting on this kind of merry-go-round that's really, really important. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Anyway, whew, okay.
And now...
We were just having a bit of a chat when the song was playing, and we were talking about this idea of theology, mm-hmm. which is something that you've done a lot of study in, and it's a real area of passion for you. For people who don't actually know what theology is, I think it's a word that tends to get thrown around a lot, often in very boring ways,
yeah, sure.
which it really isn't. Like, it's so interesting when you speak to people who are like really great, you know, theology students or theologians,
yes.
as they're referred to. What is it that really for you, you know, lights a fire under you about Catholic theology?
Sure. So for me, I find Catholic theology really affirming and interesting because it's the pillar, it's the backbone of our Catholic faith, and often it can be quite daunting or scary. People think that they're unable to access that type of information or those understandings. But the way and again, the teachers that I've had who have taught me about theology have just been so inspiring, and they've been able to, I guess, you know, break open the gospel vision of Jesus and, you know, share our faith and the theology that underpins it in a way that I could access and make meaning of it. I've recently finished my Master of Professional Studies in Theology, but prior to that, I hadn't studied
Pause
theology.
For a second. Guys, just in case you're wondering, that's a really big deal. That's a huge deal. She really, really knows her stuff. And continue.
No, but before having started that master's program, I hadn't studied theology before. So for me, it was quite...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was quite, I guess, a little bit intimidating. But it was through, you know, being exposed and having such amazing teachers lead me through those processes and those understandings that I developed this great love. And it was actually the culmination of the program where I was able to do a research project. Mm. And I was very, very fortunate that...
But you could never get away from research project, even at master's level.
And I was very, very fortunate that Father James McAvoy, he was my supervisor.
Wow, far
and
out.
And I'm absolutely indebted to him.
He's
and,
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely inspiring. Mm. But my project centered all around the theology that underpins children and childhood.
Righto.
And how that relates to godly play.
Yep, yep.
And how that can inspire and nourish religious education within Catholic primary schools. So for me, it was really relevant, but also so very affirming as an educator, but also as a mother, as a Catholic. Everything that I wrote about and researched, I felt absolutely resonated with me from my very core.
Yeah. And I guess when you start looking at this idea of theology for young people, for children, you've got to break it right down to the
absolutely
really essential blocks of what's really going on. You can't,
and
in a lot
important
of cases, cover it up in like language or big terminology or flowery vernacular. It's all about like words like vernacular. You can't use that when you're doing that stuff. It has to be. So that must have been really amazing, like really breaking it all down to its bare bones and going, no, this is really what's important.
Yes, and this is the center, and this is what we're trying to, I guess, radiate to, you know, to everybody that we meet. But, you know, ultimately for me, the biggest takeaway was you know, that God is love, and love is found through relationships, and we're relational people, and we live our humanity through relationship with others, through God and through creation. So, and with ourselves, of course. But it just, I guess, really hit home for me as to how special our relationships with each other are, and the importance of nurturing those relationships too, and finding time and space, which is, again, I guess, why I'm so interested in formation as well here at the CEO.
Yeah, wonderful. And I think you've nailed it there. I think once you start with just that central premise of just going, God is love, everything comes off that. It's like a, whatever you call it, like a bubble thought chart. What do they call those things? Like a mind map.
Yes.
It's like, as long as you start with that central premise, everything else flows on perfectly well. That's brilliant. My special guest for the last hour has been the wonderfully, wonderfully amazing and fascinating, interesting, funny Kelly Spencer. She's an advisor working for Catholic Identity and Mission now at Catholic Education SA. Look, if you are listening on the radio and you have only just turned the radio on, seriously, you have missed out on, and actually a very moving show, as well as being very funny and very, very interesting. If you have only just switched on, it's okay. It's okay. Take a breath. Take a seat. Jump on to wherever you get your podcast. Look up ArchD Radio and you'll see episode with Kelly Spencer. It's there. You can hear it in its entirety wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you like. It's all good. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Has it been okay?
It's been a joy.
Good. Lovely. We are here every week with a brand new podcast version of the ArchD Show. Check out all of our other podcasts, including the latest school life content on our website, archdradio.com, and find us on social media at ArchD Radio for heaps of behind-the-scenes stuff. Or you can catch the show when it airs on Life FM every Wednesday night from 9, every Saturday night from 10. We will see you again very soon. Bye.